We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
You got me nervous there for a second.
I was going to just a slightly different intonation this week.
No. As soon as I started talking, you were going like this, and I'm like, can you hear me? I started checking everything around me.
You will notice. I'm like, eagle-eyed people will notice every week. The first thing I do when you kick in with your sight, sound, scenes is I do that, which is me adjusting the volume. Because it's not until we go live that I realize that the volume changes. So that's, you'll always see me doing this. So I can hear you again.
It's just my excitement, Steve. It's my excitement. I get so excited. It's like,
Well, we've got a lot to be excited about.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. Oh my God. We have so much to be excited about today. I have not breaking news. I have some exciting news. I got some home theater news updates that I can't wait to share with everybody. I had a home theater visit this weekend. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't even know where to go first. Why don't we start off with the chat? Cause you said, I just literally sat down moments ago. And you said the chat's going crazy. What's up?
Well, before we start, I think before we get into the chat, I think, or more generally, I think a moment of silence is needed, Deej. For Zombie Rust 5, who says in the chat, just put my house on the market, cringing, losing my theater. So a moment of silence, please, in mourning for the loss of Zombie Rust 5's home theater. There we go. Right.
I just happen to have that handy.
But in true Brightside fashion, the chat has come to the rescue for Zombie Rust. Exciting to have a new one in your new place, Mikey says. Vangul says, maybe next house will have a better place for a theater. So well done, fellas.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, yeah.
Go big or go home. And I'm going home to go big, or I'm building a home to go big.
We got all the dimensions in this week's Takeover Tuesday as well.
Pretty much, not all of them.
Okay.
I think I adjusted some of them afterwards. And we'll talk about it later. So it's like, when you're building like I'm building, you have an idea in mind, but if you talk to an actual architect or you talk to an engineer ahead of time, they'll be like, well, you have to do this or this, this, and this. But it's not until you're in place. And then all of a sudden, like I've been saying it for like almost 2 years. I don't know. This is my idea. And piping is in the way. Stuff is in the way. Things, how do you manipulate things? And then you get ideas in your head of this is what I wanted. And like I said, we'll talk about it later. I got pictures and stuff. I gave a walkthrough this weekend. So it's,
very cool.
I'm really, really excited about how it's coming together.
Okay.
Really excited. I mean, I can't wait.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, now I'll say properly to those hello to those in the chat. So tonight we have a new first commenter. So Vangul was first tonight. Well done, Vangul.
Oh, nice.
Although tuning in an hour and 8 minutes early.
Damn.
So that's dedication.
Yeah. 3:52. Yeah. Wow. 3:52 my time.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
It's like, hello. It was basically an echo. Hello.
Hello. Anyone here? So we've got Vangul's in. Hi, Vangul. Mikey's in number two with commenting. And then we've got Steve Att, who claims he was here since 4:14. There's no way of verifying that because he didn't chat.
Yeah.
We believe you, Steve. We believe you. And we've got Paul Hertz in, of course. Hiya, Paul. And then Jordan is in. I know I saw Jordan there. And we have got Fred's in. Hey, Fred, as Paul says. Obviously Zombie Russ, we know. And we've got Bill McAllister's in. Dom's in. Hi, Dom. Ariel's in. Carl's in as well. Yep, the gang's all here. President correct. Yeah. On parade.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Bill McAllister. Hmm. Yeah, look at that. Look at wow. All right. I saw some scanning through. I saw some creator talk. Mm. Shane put that review out recently. He just saw it. He hadn't seen it yet.
Some of us, these are born to lead, others to follow. You know, I mean, you know,
we're ones to say that. We just, we love sunshine, and that's been out, mm-hmm. that was out 10 years
yes,
ago.
Yes.
So some are born to lead, some are yes. born to trip over their own feet.
Yeah. And tonight we are whatever. Talking about a movie from 1976. So, you know,
yeah, there you go. So. Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's just when you get to it, and there's no right time to get to something, because when you get to it, you're just going to bring more awareness to it, like we did with Sunshine. So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Hashtag bright
side. There is a wrong time to get to it, which is 5 minutes after it's been spoiled. Right time.
Exactly. Or when you're sitting on a park bench watching on your iPhone.
Well, who would do such a thing? I can't imagine it myself.
No.
Not guilty.
All right. Let's get to this breaking news. Conversation today. Mikey Schramm, my boy. We talked about when Mike and John were on, we talked about the SVS trade-in program. So Mike texts me today. He says he got the Ultra Evolution bookshelves. He got the information. He didn't get them yet. But the bookshelves, just to replace the bookshelves at the front of his room with the trade-in, the grand total of $573.73.
Mm.
So before I was like, that's fantastic. You're going to upgrade to the new, you know, Ultra Evolution bookshelves. So I right away, I'm like, I had to reach out to Nick and get clarification, get permission. I'm like, is this, I don't know, like, what is this, you know? And Nick was like, nope. I go, can I talk about this on the show? He's like, absolutely. He's like, yeah. And he goes, but make it clear, it's different. The amount you get is different for everybody. And he wanted to stress the most important thing is to have your boxes. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have the boxes that your current speakers came in, they will ship you the boxes, but they're going to be shipping an empty box that costs money. And at that point, the amount you're going to save, it's probably better if you just sold them yourself. So you could, I mean, that I think is a decent savings. Mm. You know, it's, I think I, what are they? $600 a piece. So it's like, you're almost getting 50% off.
Yeah. It's not bad at all.
Just for trading them in. Yeah. And but Mike went, like, they ask you for pictures. They want to see the condition they're in. And that number can fluctuate depending on the condition that your speakers are in. Mm. And of course, if you have the boxes or not, but it is in the Bill of Rights, the customer Bill of Rights, the SVS customer Bill of Rights. So that's a policy that they've had ongoing. Mm-hmm. That's nothing new. And that's probably when Mike was on and we said that they, you know, they take trade-ins. They absolutely do. Mm-hmm. They take them in all the time. So, but yeah, I just wanted to get that out there because I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be looking to do stuff like that.
It's really cool
to upgrade.
Yeah. It's good that SVS is a company that's not tiny, but it's not so big that they haven't forgot about offering things like that. You know, there's not a lot of companies would do that. Not just as a wide offer to people. So yeah, that's very, very cool. And you know, we know, don't we, because we've spoken to them, you know, the lead designer, the marketing guys at SVS that they are, you know, they care about their customer service and they want to provide, you know, good products to people. So yeah, that's good. Yeah. Very cool of them. Very cool.
Let's see. It says SVS trade-in, must you be first owner? Going to have to ask customer support. I can't I don't imagine. I don't think that they would care. But I can't speak to that. But as a guess, it's if you've got the boxes and they're in great condition, it is what it is.
How would they know otherwise?
And
it's not like a car. Well, where
when you buy them, they'd know if you bought them. I mean, if you bought them from them, unless you bought them at like a secondhand, like a Best Buy or something.
Exactly.
Because I know that they sell them elsewhere. So yeah, you're right. That's true.
Lawyer.
So yeah, look at you. Look at you. But yeah, I think it's more about it. And I have to imagine that if it was a first owner, Nick probably would have told me that today. But he was like, the most important thing he said was the boxes, because a lot of people don't have them. And he goes, and then it's the condition from there. And he goes, if they're in great condition, like I know, you know, Mike Schramm's are, if they're in great condition and you have the boxes, you're probably going to get a fairly good discount. So, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do they recycle them, do you think? Not as in resale them. Do you think they recycle the components and that kind of stuff?
I would think they just refurbished them and would just resell them.
Okay.
As you know, as B stock or refurbished, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
So, Mike's still hemming and hawing. He's got to get it past the you know, the budget committee.
Well,
but
and in fairness, Mike has recentest experience of, you know, buying it without sort of not looking before he leaped, as it were, with his chairs, his seating. So no wonder he's being careful. I mean, I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you can, as he said, it's like they'll ship you the new ones, try them out, and when you ship back the other ones, they'll give you the credit that they were going to give you, right? So if they ship them out to you and you don't like them, just ship those ones back, because they have their 60-day or 90, whatever it is, 60 or 90 tryout period. So just ship them back. So like, and Mike's already thinking of that. Like if it's not as big an upgrade, but I'm like, I can't imagine why. I'm like, for 500, almost $600. So. Off.
That's very cool. See, they don't, that kind of thing doesn't seem to happen in the UK. I mean, if there are companies that do that, I'm not aware of them. I mean, here, you buy them, and unless they're faulty, we ain't having them back. Other than, you know, not with any kind of electrical components. Once it's out of the box, unless it's faulty, we're not having it back. So that also is a very cool offer, isn't it? Which I doubt SVS do over here, because I presumably they come from the US. So,
I know, when I talked to PK that time in India, and he like, it's so expensive over there to ship back and forth, and SVS ships there and stuff, he said, but it's just the shipping is crazy, because it's more about like getting it in and out of India than it is about, you know, SVS or any of these companies from what PK was saying. It was really tough. And it's like being a home theater fan over there is just like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
And he's pulling it off.
Yeah, good.
I know there are other people too, but, Scruffy. Oh, a lot of talk about the Beekeeper rental or purchase the disc. I threw it out. No. Now, I rented that movie on Kaleidoscape and did not purchase it.
You didn't say anything about that.
Yes, I did.
Did you? When?
Yes, I did. When I rented it, because it was rental only at the time.
I didn't hear that. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. I talked about it. John and I talked about it on the show. John saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I thought, like, the home theater experience is really good. It was just, this movie here was like, my wife and I watched it in the theater and we were like, we love Jason Statham movies. And maybe this will ring a bell. It's like, I stepped out of the theater and I was like, that is like one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. Mm. And my son is outside the room and he goes, have you seen Crank?
Oh man, another Crank's Jason great. Statham movie.
I know. And I did. My wife and I saw that in the theater. We love that movie. It's hysterical. But this one here, it wasn't so much like Crank's stupid. Like it's supposed to be.
Knowingly stupid.
This here, it's like there's stuff that you're like, oh my God, seriously? And when John and I had a conversation about it, he goes, all right, yeah, that. But he had fun with it. And I had fun with it. It's good home theater wise. But when you see the movie, a lot of people are liking it. Everybody I'm reading is liking the movie because they're leaving their brains at the door and going, ah, it's Jason Statham. I'm like, I like Expendables better.
Mm. Well, I haven't, do you know what? I haven't seen it yet. I had a screener. And I stayed away from it because I thought, well, you know, I heard good things. It's a David Ayer movie. I like David Ayer. You know, his heart's in the right place. He seems like a good guy. And again, generally, I like Statham's movies as well, not exclusively, but generally. And I think so. It's one that I was kind of waiting to get the 4K on. It's interesting. Dom says he bought the 4K.
Definitely.
Dom, can you let me know? Because Dom's French, so I don't know if it's out over in France yet or whether he's imported it because it's not out in the UK yet. So I was waiting to see, but if on the basis of what you just said, Deej, maybe I will rent it first then, because I'm more critical than you are generally.
Rent the 4K or get a good version of it because it's going to be enhanced by the experience. Don't get a mediocre home theater experience for the sake of it. But at the same time, it's like, I'd hate to tell you to spend money on it and import it. And,
yeah, no, you're okay.
I mean, I love Statham too, Dom. I love Statham. Mm. And it's, I mean, I go way back with Statham, but this is, and it's not him. It's just the situation of the movie. I don't want to ruin it for you. Like after you've seen it, I'll talk to you about it and be like, what the hell? Like they couldn't have added a little bit. But yeah.
Okay. Well, I might wait for the UK 4K release then, or I think there is one coming out in Europe at some point as well. I'm not in any massive rush. But you know, so I'll
shouldn't
either
be.
That or I'll rent it first. Fred says buy the VHS version.
yeah, exactly.
So
we're going to be pretty close to that later.
Ooh, yeah. I might rent it in that case just to be on the safe side. We'll see. But there's just so much stuff out at the moment. There is so much to watch that circling around to mediocre is not a priority. You know, there's just tons to see. So we shall see.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, geez.
Oh, Dom says, okay, Dom says it's on the plane. He's not actually seen it, so he's imported it blind. Okay, that's what I take that to mean. Okay, all right, Dom, well, hopefully you enjoy it.
Let's see. Whoop, didn't mean to do that.
Okay, you're right.
Yep. No, I'm good. I'm good. Just moving some images around here.
Moving on. Yeah.
Moving on some images.
So while you're doing that, we ought to do our quick Patreon trail, shall we, Deej?
Yes.
Just quickly reminding peeps. I know we do it at the end, but
Not
a bad thing to do in the middle.
Yeah. Thank you to all the Patreon supporters. Already looking forward to my next payment. To add to my account to pay for my trips. I'm like, I get some more money back in there. Seriously though, thank you. One way to support the show, monetarily is to go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. And, you can support the show as little as a dollar a month, right, Steve?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And, don't forget as well, TeePublic as well. So all the merch and everything else on there.
Yeah.
It's all there, and feel free to go and have a look because there is some cool stuff on there.
Yeah, you can buy us a box of popcorn from the website, all that stuff. That's the monetary way. But if you just want to support the show, just tell everybody about us. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody, even people that don't know what home theater is. Maybe it'll spark a conversation.
Yeah. By the time they've realized that it's not something they're interested in, it's a view for us and everyone's a win.
Exactly. Maybe they know somebody. Mm. Yes, exactly. So, all right. Let's see. What do you want to get to? What do you want to do first?
Dealer's choice.
I'm like,
dealer's choice. You do your thing.
Flying over here. Okay. Let's get this out of the way. First, non-home theater piece. I have to add stuff. I have to actually share the screen here so that you can even see what I'm talking about. Remember what I was saying earlier about how the show just runs itself?
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Van Gool's just dropping in with, he wears his hoodie around to talk about you. Oh, there we go. That's pretty cool.
No, home theater, not me.
Yeah, just your face on it.
Yeah, exactly. Not me. So, all right, here we go. This should be fun. So we got this happened this weekend. Joe and I. That is me trying to get our wood stove into the house. Look at that thing. So there it is. It's me. Here we go. And there it is in place.
Cool.
That thing weighs 700 pounds.
Eek. Yeah, that's a lot.
So we went and picked it up, right? And so let me, I know I have another image somewhere else here. Oh, there it is. There's Joe in the truck. He borrowed a truck from work and we strapped it in there and the box is even bigger. The thing's 700 pounds. And I'm like, oh, all right. The forklift put it in the back of the truck. I'll take it off the back of this truck with my tractor, right? And to which I already showed you the image of it. And so it's, yeah, we get home, get to the house, and I go to pick it up off the back of the truck. Won't lift it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's it rated for? Yeah.
The tractor will lift like 880 pounds, but it has to all be close in. And then, you know, how further things
Physics. Yeah.
Get the heavier. Physics, right? Mm-hmm. So this thing, we're like, what the heck? So he had to get out. So we didn't have time to mess with it. We needed a few hours to figure this out. So he took the whole entire thing back up to work, which is like almost an hour away, put it inside, and he brought it. We brought it back the next day, but he unboxed it. So try to get out, because it was surrounded in like lumber for protection and everything. So he brought it home looking the way you see it right here. Still couldn't lift it. So we had to take the front door off, all the bricks out of the inside of it. We took all of that off. Tractor obviously picked it right up. Still at that point, this thing weighs, it's got to weigh like 500 and something pounds, 600, almost 600 pounds, right? So we got these, I go, how are we going to lift this thing? And it came with handles, but you'd cut your fingers off. We got these straps, the forearm forklifts. You put them underneath and then you lift it with your forearms. The two of us have these bruises. Mine are, you can kind of see them a little bit. All over my arms. I lift it up. Well, at one point, I'm lifting it. And you can only take little steps because you're like, he's stronger than me, but it's not the strength. It's like it's these straps are digging into you. And he's walking. And I'm like stepping backwards. And Joe goes, put it down, because he can see my face. And I wouldn't stop. He goes, put it down. I put it down. I go, what's the matter? He goes, I didn't want you to pass out.
Have an embolism.
But we're like taking like, yeah, exactly. He's like, he's watching me stress. And I'm just like, oh my God. It was just, we got it into place. And so that's what it looks like in place.
And it's it's a stove. Is it what we'd probably call over here an arga? It's not a fireplace.
Yeah, it's a wood stove. It's a stove. Wow. No, it goes in place of a fireplace. Mm-hmm. And this will, you know, the flue for it will go up through the floor, and then I have the chimney on the roof, you know, so it goes up.
Okay, stove, attic. It's not to cook stuff then.
Oh, God.
See, when you say stove,
no,
that's
this is
what
a
I
wood
think.
Stove like a fire. Okay, it's a wood stove like a fireplace.
There you go.
So see where that, I didn't take any pictures with the door back on it, but that's the door where you see that piece of paper right there.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So it'll fit like a 2 foot round log in there. And it's a big sucker. And like you could see in that other picture there, see on the sides, it says fan air and outside air. Mm-hmm. So it brings air in from outside to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fan air, it'll actually duct the heat to other parts of the house. So I'm going to duct it to the basement so that in the wintertime, I'm not like just heating the main floor and the basement gets cold. And so this will pump the hot air.
But how does that work with the HVAC system then? So
the HVAC system won't work. It won't be on. It won't need to come on.
Okay.
So we run like, I have a wood stove here now. And when I run it, I buy a tank of oil a year because I burn so much wood. I just burn wood and that's it. So like for this, I'll hardly ever use my HVAC system in the wintertime.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
That's just a standby. Mm. And this thing will run with you load it up with the wood. It'll run for 18 hours before it burns out of wood.
Oh, wow.
So it's super efficient, can hold a lot of wood. It has its own battery backup. So like if you lose power, the thing has a battery backup in it, which is pretty cool. Mm. So yeah. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So I, that's one of the things I got to work on this week, getting the walls, because it's so big, you want to put it in and then you build the walls around it. And the bathroom is behind it there. So,
so what, so is that's the, what room? So that's the bathroom room. Behind. So there's a bathroom behind the, so that's, you're going to put a wall around that, as you say. So then there's a, there's a door in there behind that that goes into the bathroom.
Yeah. See all these things on the ground here. Yeah. That'll be the doorway, the hall, little hall / doorway to get into the bathroom behind it.
Oh, okay.
And then, and then
that's the preformed shower, isn't it, behind there?
Yes, that's the shower in there. It's funny. We had somebody this week, last night, Jen and I are out to dinner and both our phones go off because I have security system in the house. And, people just walked in and they were touring the house and it was like being on social media. They thought nobody was listening. So they felt free to speak and they were criticizing the crap out of the house.
Oof.
But like most critiques, they were all wrong. Yeah, well, they're like, this is so stupid. Why don't they have a wall here? Because it's not done yet, you idiot. then they walk to the basement. You'll see pictures later. They walk to the basement and you can hear them. They're like, I don't think they're going to finish the basement. It's like, what? You're standing in like almost like it's got as much lumber in it as this. It's like, it was so bad.
Yeah. Was well, they so just walked bad. It off the street.
Yeah.
Cheeky so-and-sos. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They said one thing going down the stairs, and I was like, do you have, yeah, Paul. And that's what I was just going to say. Do you have that two-way comms thing? You could have corrected them. I was like, there were so many times I wanted to, and there was one when they were going down the stairs, and all my tools are down there. And he's like, oh, wow. Idiot left his tools out. That's gutsy. And there's a camera right by my tools. I wanted to go, no, it isn't. Watch them run. Yeah, but man. I was like, I was having too much fun. I didn't want it to end. I was telling the HVAC guys about it today and they're like, wow, you're a better man than me. I would have been all over them. I go, now I go, the other thing I have set up, I already have the emergency alerts. All I got to do is push a button in the police station, which is about a quarter mile down the road. They'd be there in like 2 seconds.
Oh man. I would have messed with them.
Hauling my tools out.
Yeah. I would have had to mess with them. Just start saying, killer mommy, just into the thing. Just whisper it.
That's what Jen
said. Been out of there in seconds.
Like, we should. Yeah, Jen's like, we should say something like it's haunted or something, right? It was so funny, but I was having too much fun with them. And then the wife, she goes, they finally figured something out. Like, okay, maybe they're gonna do a wall here or something. But this is a bad design. I don't like this. And then, she goes, we're going to have to come back in later. We're going to have to get in later. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, that's it.
My doors are coming in next week.
Yeah, that's it. Time to invest in a guard dog. Unleash the hounds.
I got two of them. Yeah. They're just here.
Yeah. It's a long way for them to go, though. By the time they get there, they'll have gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, cheeky.
Yeah, here's a close-up version.
How is he doing that? How is he just wandering into someone's house? What time of day was it?
It was like 6:30 last night, daylight.
It's the kind of thing my clients would do.
Yeah. Exactly. It was so funny. Yeah. It was great.
Did I ever tell you about that I officially, or my firm officially represented Britain's dumbest criminal? And I say officially for reasons I'll explain. Because this guy, and I'm not going to give names, but this guy, he and his girlfriend walked past a car. And they decided they were going to break into this car, which they did, and then decided they would steal the car, which they did. And in the car, there was a digital camera. It's a while ago now. And they took photos of each other whilst they were in this car. And when they dumped the vehicle, they left the camera. And so the police, when they retrieved the car and looked at the photos on the camera, were like, oh, we know him and we know her. And they went around and arrested them. And on the front page of Britain's largest daily newspaper were the pictures of them, with the Immortals line, Britain's dumbest criminal. And they then rang my boss at the time and said they wanted to sue for defamation. And my boss at that time said, you can only sue if it's not true.
Right.
So, that's funny. Oh, man. Anyway.
That's great. Yeah, this people are so stupid. Mm.
Yeah. And then to criticize the design.
If everybody was smart, you wouldn't have a job.
Well, there we go.
Let's see. Oh, why isn't this letting me move my pictures? All right. Which one would you like to get
you
to?
You take here? Your pick, Deej. I'd rather save the 1976 one towards the end, if we can, because yes. That one kind of building to that one. But the others, take your pick. Oh, let's get this out of the way.
All right. Oh, that's not a good sign.
No.
All right, here we go.
Okie dokie. Ladies and gents, let's get this out the way then. This is Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver on Netflix. Excuse me, in 4K and Dolby Atmos. Now, you're waiting for these, aren't you, Deej? You haven't seen these yet?
I'm waiting for the R version, yeah. I started the first one, and probably like what you're going to say about this one, I was just like, I really, and I hate to say it, it's like I really need to be grabbed by something because if I'm not, I'm like, I got too much going on in my head and I just wander and I'll be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I did. I was like, I got better things to do. And it's not, I bet you any money. I mean, you guys know me and people have been listening for a while. I love everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't think, so I'm like, I know the R version's coming. So I'll wait for that.
Yeah. Well, this,
and I'll probably be in my theater.
Well, quite. Well, this definitely feels like even more than the first. I thought the first one, you could see the joins, you could see where the cuts have been made and where it, you know, it was very obvious. But if it was obvious in the first one, it is blindingly obvious in this. It's like an extended trailer. It's really,
really,
really, scenes that don't really work together. Whole entire sequences look like they've just been thrown in. It's very weird and thunderously dull. I had to see this in two sittings because I nearly fell asleep the first time. So I had to give it another go and finish it off because I thought I would. But it is not good. And I think it's still 13% on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. Oh. And I can see why. This is very, very poor indeed, unfortunately. Now, the R-rated cuts, I don't know. I genuinely don't know if I'm going to watch those because I just don't think I can put myself through this again. Because there's only so much, because violence for violence's sake is not going to save this unless there are entirely different, you know, much longer versions of scenes so that it makes some sort of narrative sense, then it's not going to save it and they'll just be poor, the same as this. So it's very, very tough to watch and I'll never see this version again, that's for sure. Now, in terms of the home theater side of it, there is ludicrous amounts of slow motion in this. I mean, I like Zack Snyder. I mean, I love 300. Army of the Dead, I think, is one of the best movies on Netflix. I love that movie in ways that are most unnatural. And I like Dawn of the Dead. I like Watchmen and all that. So I'm not someone that gets on the Snyder, you know, bandwagon and just
hate wagon.
Well, quite. And we like the Snyder Cut. You know, we talked about that not that long ago, didn't we? It's the best DC film of the DCEU. So it's not a Snyder thing. But it is, there's just ludicrous amounts of slow motion, including one scene, it's not a spoiler, of people cutting wheat. Now, do we need a slow motion shot of people cutting wheat? No, we really don't, especially with all the other stuff. So it's horrendously hackneyed, terribly cliched, and thunderously dull. Now, as I said, but as you get to the end, there is a big battle again. I don't think any of that's a surprise. It's in the trailers and it's a sci-fi movie. And there is some good stuff in that. There is some nice HDR. There is some nice kind of, you know, desert kind of colors. Your sandy colors. And then against that, you've got the laser bolts and everything else, which does look quite nice. And there's some detail in the shots and that sort of thing. The audio is not bad. It's not going to rival Six Underground. It's not going to rival, you know, those movies, Extraction, those kind of movies on Netflix for demo material. But it's okay. The problem is by the time all this comes around, you're so bored that it's really not registering as it should. I mean, I don't know what's happened here. I don't quite know whether this is Snyder being forced to make cuts as he did with Justice League or whether, and so we'll get at the better version at the end, or whether this was very misplaced to begin with, and you know they're going to try and tinker with it and fix it to get, you know, double the amount of money out of, well, money, you know what I mean, double the amount of subscribers.
So that's the thing, it's not tinkering. Mm. It's not any, like, I replied to Ryan Davey of hashtag dork on Twitter about it, because I highly recommend, if you're gonna criticize the two versions, go listen to Zack Snyder on Joe Rogan, and you'll hear what you hear is like it. Then you'll make your opinion from there. Mm. But if you don't listen to Zack Snyder himself, you don't know what you're talking about, because people are like, "Oh, see, he's gonna try to save it by doing this." This was all part of the agreement with Netflix. He wanted to make this. He wanted to make the rated R version. Netflix said, we'll let you make the rated R version, but can we do a PG-13 first? Their negotiation basically was, I'll let you make any cuts to it you want, but you're going to release my version too. So this is a great example of what happened. The studio gets to make their version. And then the artist, this is what he wanted. This happens all the time in Hollywood. It happens all the time. They have, like, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. Only the greats, like a Lucas, a Spielberg, Scorsese, where they get to do it,
final cut.
Right. They get their own version. Or, like, what we did with Stallone and Lucas in the 70s, it was like, I'm not selling it. I need to make it my way. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And it's like, you either finance it yourself or you do what the financiers want. Okay. Yeah. But that's only fair. They're paying for it. Right. Yeah, like, you wish you could do it. Let me do what I want, but you're a nobody. Mm. Why would I do that? Mm. So not that Zack Snyder is a nobody, but in this case here, it was the legit part of the agreement. This was the agreement from the outset. Mm. This isn't revisionist. The actual revisionist version is the PG-13. Mm-hmm. They're revising it to make it PG-13. And that's what I'll be interested. Now, maybe the rated R version stinks too. I don't know. Mm. But to say that they're trying to save it means you just don't have all the information.
Yeah. I mean, I having seen them both, I can't, again, speculation, just don't know. But having seen both of the PG versions, I can't see how a bit of extra violence is going to save it. Either, you know, sex, violence, whatever it might be, language, I can't see it's going to save it unless there are whole entire scenes that are glue to bring this stuff together to make sense. Otherwise, you are left with the most cliched, hackneyed stuff you've ever seen. And if someone gets shot in the face or someone gets an arm cut off or whatever, that's not going to make the movie any better. It's other than a couple of seconds here and there.
Right.
And I don't know. And also, it's self-defeating, isn't it? Because if you then cut it to such an extent that people hate it, and if you're getting 13% on an aggregate review site, people don't like it. then it's self-defeating, isn't it? Because it's no good making two versions. If the first version is so bad, no one wants to see the second one.
He's saying it's a different movie.
Well, he would, wouldn't he? He's not going to go.
Yeah, you say this was all recorded before it came out, before anything came out. Yeah. But that's what so Paul's saying might have been interesting. If they'd released the PG and the R at the same time, would anyone have watched the PG? No, probably not. Mm. But that defeats the entire purpose because they want you double dipping. You're already paying for Netflix. Mm. They want the double clicks. They want you sticking around. You're already paying for Netflix. So it's like, what did this cost you? Time, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to watch the second one, you're going to get that click. You're going to keep your subscription. You're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. So they're all trying to, it's all a game. And I get Netflix side. I get his side. He's getting to make the movie that he wanted. Mm. And it's like, because I think Rogan even asked him, he's like, were you mad about any of the cuts? He goes, I didn't care. I knew I was getting the movie that I wanted to make. Mm. He goes, I don't care what they cut out. So it's very interesting that, I mean, we saw it with the Snyder cut too. Mm. It's like all of those cuts were for time and budget and what they want to do and that get the most out of your viewing in the theater. Because anything over 2 hours, it's like if you can keep ramping it up, you get more viewings in a day. So that, you know, the studios, they pay attention to every penny.
Mm. I do, but so, I like I said, from my point of view, I will not be rushing to see the R-rated cuts of this. I can't see it's going to save it somehow. They would have to be, you know, 90% on an aggregate review site to make me want to go back. The, oh my God, yeah, this is different. People just come out and go, meh, then no. But I'll be curious to see what you make of it, Deej. But you'll, if you're anything like me, you'll spend a movie going, right, so that's Star Wars, that's Star Trek, that's Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah.
That's, and then you're not, again, as we've talked about before, and if you're paying attention to that, the drama's not working and you're not paying attention to that either. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. But for me, it's been a massive disappointment. And really, Zach, if you're listening, and he might be, get back to Army of the Dead sequel, mate, please, because I really love that first one.
Oh. All right. You want to do, this, get this one out of the way too?
Yeah, go on and let's do this. Go on, this one's your baby. Yeah. Do this. Go on.
Let's get this out of the way. All right. So here's a, all right, we'll bring this up and I'll put a sounder to it or anything. A well respected person on Twitter, love his stuff. I don't want to talk out of school, but put a bunch of, this isn't, he put it out on Twitter, but I'm going to criticize what he was saying, and I have examples. He's not happy, according to his, this is another case of they just don't have the setup right. And I don't know how else to put it. So he doesn't like the scratches on the 4K version of Terminator. And if you look at this on screen, there's scratches in it. I don't know if you can see them on there, Steve.
Yeah, I can see them. Yeah.
On your screen. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if anybody else can too, because it's hard to do through phones and wherever you're watching this. But this image here has scratches and everything. So I saw this tweet and he had this image and I got a few more too. So I, of course, love Terminator sitting there. I was like, let me check this out. Here's my 4K version of it. And why didn't it
go? Of T2, do you mean, Deej? Are we talking
Terminator 2?
Yeah.
That's my 4K version. Mm-hmm. His version, scratches, that's what he was complaining about. My version, where'd his color go? I don't know what he was saying about scratches in the 4K version. He was saying he preferred the 1080p version over this because he didn't like how it was like not restored correctly for 4K. That's my version. Now we also did this scene here. This is the 1080p. That is his 4K version. Look how much darker the 4K version is than the 1080p. And this is a scene from the bar scene at the beginning of the movie of Terminator 2. Sorry for audio only people. The other one was the scene of John Connor right at the beginning of Terminator 2. 1080p version, 4K version. Look how much, and he was complaining that it's darker and blah, blah, blah. 1080p, 4K. Which do you prefer? I would say out of these choices, I would take the 1080p, of course. Here's my 4K version.
Like, for the record, it's like, similar to mine as well.
Exactly. And you looked at it as well. Mm. Now, I go through, when I take my pictures like this, especially if I'm going to be critical about something, I go back in with the phone. I adjust it to match what I'm seeing on my screen because the phones hardly ever match it dead on. But when somebody online is telling you that the 4K version is darker, their SD and HDR settings or SDR and HDR settings are wrong. And they're basing a criticism off of something that isn't correct. It's like their system isn't set up to make this comparison. Steve and I talked about this earlier this week and Steve he's like, I like this guy. I respect him. How could he be so wrong? And I'm like, he's not wrong from his perspective. A lot of people don't know that you have to have different settings for SDR and HDR. So it's valuable information, but these are also the same people that love physical media and they don't know why it's dying, but yet they put out stuff like, don't buy the 4K version. And it's like, but that's, if you see a review that says the 4K version is darker, double check yourself, because I've seen a handful of scenes that end up darker, but it's only because that's the way they're supposed to be rendered. And now your system can actually do it right. But an entire disc like this bright scene here, that's what it's supposed to look like. Now here's another. Nelson sent me his. That's his off of his. That's his 1080p version. That's his 4K version. Here on these screens, I can see a difference. He says the color timing in this one, he likes this one better. This one here, it looks waxy and blah, blah, blah. But on my phone, these two looked identical. I was working at the house and he sent me these two pictures and I'm like, I can't see a difference in the two. But now on a bigger screen, you can, and I'm sure in his room, you could. Okay. But I'm telling you, if you pull up these pictures on your phone, and people watching this on their phone are probably like, I don't even see a difference, right? Because they're seeing it through a phone, through YouTube or whatever. I get the raw pictures from his room and you don't see a difference on your phone, but there is a difference, but it's not the great difference like this going from what we saw here. And typically, like Steve and I talked about, I typically leave this stuff alone. But what I don't like about it is that there's a lot of bad information out there for DVD or Blu-ray sales. If your system can't handle 4K or it's not set up appropriately to handle it and you're getting dark images, then maybe you should only be at 1080. Or, you know, and don't deal with the HDR. Or look into getting your system calibrated, or you don't even need a calibration. You just need to have your settings right. So, to be fair, Nelson's running almost the identical system as mine. He's using Kaleidoscape. He's using Illumigen. He's running a JVC NZ8. I've got my Sony, but with the Illumigen in line, it takes care of a lot of this stuff for us. Not a lot of it. It takes care of all of it. We don't have to change our settings. A video processor does that. Before I had my video processor, I had to know, like, if you saw a scene that looked dark like that, I had a setting. Okay, that means you went into HDR. It's going to come in darker. Boom, change my set. I had it a setting calibrated right for that. On my projector, it was reference. Film one was SDR. Okay, so I had a setting on my Harmony. If I was watching something and it seemed a little too dark, go right to HDR. And that usually would only happen if I was like flipping channels and I went to an HDR source on, you know, streaming or something. But most movies, you know, when you're putting the disc in, which setting you're going to use. Uh-huh. So I don't like to criticize other people and what they're doing, but I also don't like that people get bad information and it's a detriment to the hobby in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, it's interesting, isn't it, Deej, that the issue then is another issue with the Cameron movie. You know, there seems to be an entire cottage industry on criticizing Cameron movies on disc. Cause I was just sitting there thinking, then the thought struck, well, I'm not 100% sure on your one, Deej. I know with ours, the UK disc is the Studio Canal reissue. It says at the beginning.
It's the 3D version.
Yeah, and it says it at the beginning. It actually said a bit weirdly, but it does. So this version has not been greenlit by Cameron. It's not been authorized by him. It's not been signed off by him, as far as I know. So someone could say, well, I'm not happy with it. Cameron hasn't signed it off. And yet when he does with Titanic and Aliens and The Abyss and True Lies, people moan about that. So it's just, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, I, for one, and you and I have talked about T2 as long as we've been talking. You and I have been talking about, because I put up a video of it years ago on Twitter because I thought the ending looked really good and I liked the interplay of the the blues and the reds and the oranges of the foundry at the end. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And I put a video up on Twitter of it because I thought it looked great and I couldn't understand the criticism.
Yeah.
And this, it would seem, is why, you know, it's not set up properly and people venturing an opinion on something that they're not qualified 4K. To talk about because they're not seeing it the way it should be seen.
Right. And I think what's sad is it's like when you go from 1080p, to 4K with HDR, you add so much more complication and variables that I think people aren't aware of how intricate it has to be. It is. It's not hard to do, but you just have to make sure all your settings are correct. And if you're A-B-ing stuff, your settings you have to be A-B-ing with the correct settings. And if people are just jumping back and forth but not changing their picture settings, that's what you're going to get. And I think I know a lot of people are doing this. And it's, you know, I feel bad, but at the same time, we all did it. We all started this way. It's like, I mean, when 1080p first came out, it was insane. Everybody had stretched screens and didn't know it. Now we're talking about gradation in your grayscale and people aren't knowing how to set it up. That's so much more subtle than a stretched screen, but I just think that, you know, you gotta be weary of stuff like this and, you know, it's like the 4K version of the funny thing Nelson and I were saying was like, he prefers the color grading of the 1080p because he felt like the 4K version came out a little too blue. Mm. And that is one of the legit criticisms that it is. It's got a little bit more tint of blue to it. The person on Twitter with his version, he said the 4K version looked too green. So I'm like, oh boy. Mm. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
You know, like too much of the Matrix. I'm like, wow. Yeah. And your colors
are let's not add color blindness into this.
Yeah, exactly. It's just there. Take critiques at with a grain of salt. Do your own research and understand that there are settings and you yourself are a variable. Check yourself, check your settings. Is everything right? You know, or can it be corrected? Cause I'm seeing this and I think one of the reasons Cameron gets all the hate is because there's so much and people don't mind saying it because they know they have plenty of people to back them up. Mm-hmm. Like, well, okay.
Someone who shall not be named, you will know as soon as I say that, Deej, who has very, 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 very good connections and I have since discovered knows James Cameron personally, and his family.
Oh, nice.
Talks about how James Cameron just doesn't care. He's like, look, I've done what I've done. I've done, this is how I want it. If you don't like it, shove it.
Yep. Yep.
And that's fair play to him.
I absolutely respect that. Mm. He is not, people need to understand these people like Zack Snyder, James Cameron, George Lucas, Spielberg, Scorsese, they do not care. They have something inside them. They need to get it out. You like it or not, that's up to you. They're not changing. They made this for themselves. They didn't make it for you. The fact, like all the art I've ever done in my life, I did for me. You don't like it? I don't care. It's like, you don't like my podcast? I don't care. It's like, I love it. I was thinking today, one of the sales quotes that they have at one of my dealerships, if it wasn't for the customers, we wouldn't have a store. Thank you. And I was thinking, you know, like if it wasn't for the listeners, Steve and I would still be talking.
Oh yeah.
Now we love the listeners. We love you guys. We don't, you know what I mean? And you're growing the hobby, you're growing the podcast. It's all about that. But at the same time, when John and I sat down, we're like, if nobody listens, we still talk. We're just recording what we love, you know, but I don't get a lot of it now, but I used to get a lot of, you know, criticism like, oh, you should do it this way. Or you should, but I don't want to. you can only do what you, and that's where you'll be truly happy. If I try to make everybody else happy, I'll never be happy. And I won't make everybody happy because I'll only be making certain people happy. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. Lucas changing all the Star Wars. That's on him. He loves it. That's what he wanted to do. You don't have to like it, but don't tell him he did something wrong. Because he didn't. He loves it. So,
And some might say that brings us back to Rebel Moon, where you've got a studio going, look, we want this to appeal to as wide a people as possible, so we're going to mess around with it. We're going to tinker with it. We're going to do our version, and then you can do yours. And that, so, you know, it's all linked. It's all linked, each.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. It is. The hardest, that's one of the things I worried about coming up in art, is that I'm like, am I going to get a job where I'm forced to do something? Mm. That, like, a lot, everything in me, it comes from me. And it's like, even the design of my theater, it all just comes from me. Mm. And it's like, I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care if you like my theater. I don't care if you like my house. I don't care if you like my wife. I do, you know, and it's like, that's all that matters. So, all right.
We've made some money for Amazon, Deej, which is good news. So Van Gogh's bought T2 on Amazon.
Nice. So, well done, Van Gogh. It shocks me. That's awesome, Van Gogh. Thanks, buddy. Why didn't he already have it? Is it because of all the negative talk? It's such an iconic movie.
And it's $10.72 on Amazon as well. So that's not bad for a 4K disc. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So let us know, Van Gogh. Yeah. Let us know if you, why it is you didn't already have it. You know, come on.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's funny. Mm. All right. You see what's on in the queue right now, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
Is this, talking are we getting movies to the positive side yet?
Yeah.
All right.
Talk about movies where you want your settings right. This is one of them.
I got one for you too. I'll talk about it next, but you go, here we go. Let's go.
Mm, okay then. So this is Nightmare Alley, the Guillermo del Toro movie from 2021, 22, something like that. Very, very interesting. This is the 4K disc. This is not the Disney Plus version. I watched 5 minutes of the Disney Plus version in 4K and Atmos and HDR when it came out on Disney Plus. And after 5 minutes, I stopped and thought, nope, I want to see this on disc. And I've had it for a while. I had to import it from the US. It's not available over here in 4K. So I imported it from the US and have been meaning to see it for a long time. And finally this week, I got round to it. So, 4K, HDR, Dolby Atmos, the whole shebang. And it's an unusual film, but in all the best ways. Have you seen it, Deej, by the way? It's me describing it. Have you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So how to describe it? It's a detective noir, psychological thriller, little bits of horror. You know, it's twists and turns and all kinds of stuff. And it's never less than boring. It's 2.5 hours long. It's not short. Probably one of Del Toro's longer movies. And yet it is always riveting from the beginning. I absolutely was blown away by this more than I expected to be. I thought I was going to like it from the first 5 minutes, but actually really, really enjoyed this. And I'm not going to talk about twists and turns. Just, I genuinely recommend people see it and just discover this for themselves. Bradley Cooper is a tour de force in this, showing all kinds of range. And you know, you've got there, Kate Blanchett as well, who is awesome in this. Mm. She's really good in this. And so really recommend it. Great film. You will not guess how it gets to where it's going. You might guess where it'll end up, but I don't think you'd guess how it gets there. Really, really enjoyable. I had a great time with it. So that's the film. Now, the cinema, the home cinema experience is awesome. Really nice. Now, video and audio. So video, it's beautiful. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, obviously Guillermo del Toro, his production design is second to none. I mean, his movies always look amazing, from Hellboy to Blade 2 to, you know, Pan's Labyrinth, all the movies he does, they always look, you know, really beautiful in a dark way. And this has got there. So you've got, old carnivals, you don't call them fairgrounds there. I don't know if you'd call them fairgrounds or anything like that, but you've got these old kind of carnival, grounds. And then you've got really well to do sort of hotel rooms, and you've got, frozen, grounds of stately manors and all this sort of stuff. And the film goes through all
Whoop.
There, I think each one of inadvertently ducked out. There you are.
I'm back.
You're back. What happened?
I have no idea.
Ghost of Guillermo del Toro's thing. There you go. Yeah, alrighty.
I've just dropped out.
Yeah, man, that was
new. I'm like,
yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. So that's okay. So it looks awesome. It really does. The black levels are great. The wider color gamut brings things to life. There's some electricity sparks and that kind of stuff that looks blue and white and threatening as you'd want it to be. So it looks really good and it sounds fantastic as well for this kind of film. This is not, there aren't many massive explosions. There aren't many huge kind of action scenes, but what's there is great. And my standout scene for this is early on in the movie, there is a short pursuit chase scene in an old fairground and it's in the middle of a storm. And the person who is being pursued takes refuge in a haunted house, you know, fun house, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the things is a big kind of mask, a huge kind of face, and there's a push-in shot, a slow move in through this mask. And as this is going on, you've got rain coming down and water coming down because it's an old school fair. You've got water coming through and listen out for as the camera moves forward, the water coming off the mask and coming in from the roof goes up and over and into the overheads and you can follow the water moving. And so as the camera goes in, the drips in the water come up and over the screen. It's awesome. Really, really well done. And so I think this is a great disc, really, really great disc of a very unique movie. That needs to be seen. I think you'll really enjoy it, Deej. I don't know if it's on Kaleidoscope, man. I don't know whether or if it is kind of what it is, but it's well worth seeing.
Carl has in the chat that Kaleidoscope has the 4K Atmos Neo Noir version black and white. As well.
Yeah, is that the black and white? Yeah. And yet I would not want to see this in black and white. I think this is, really? I know that Del Toro it loves his old school stuff and I'm aware of the 1947 one, but the color in this is so well done. I think you would lose a character in the movie by seeing it in black and white, personally. But, you know, I get it. A lot of people do like them.
It's interesting.
But I thought it was great. Mm. So, yeah, really recommend this. I had a great time with this. I look forward to watching it again, actually. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. maybe one for a Halloween? October.
It's not a horror. I don't think you need to wait till Halloween.
It's not really a horror.
Not really. Okay. It's got horror vibes. There's no question. But I think it's too good to leave it to Halloween. You've got October. You've only got 31 days. You know, you've got horror movies coming out of your ears.
I got four movies.
Yes. Yeah. So just, I think you could see this before then. But if you can save it to a dark and stormy night, you'll be glad that you did.
Oh,
and Jen would like it too because of the psychological stuff. Yeah, in this. She'd really enjoy it, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Van Gogh got back with the he had the Skynet edition and bought it because of DJ. Been back and forth with this one because of reviews, meaning getting the 4K. So, yeah, I think you'll be happy with it. It's for me going back. I've done the same thing as Nelson. It's funny when he asked me the other day, I'm looking on my phone and I'm like, there's literally no difference. And then when you put it onto a bigger screen, even bigger than my laptop, I'm like, oh, okay. And that's what I see too. It's like when you go from 4K, especially on our big screens, anything over, I think it's 70 inches, you're going to see a difference in crispness. It's not as crisp. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that later. but it's, if you're happy with, you know, I'm not happy with the color gradation. That's not enough to push it over for me. I love the crispness of the 4K. I wish I could get the extended version, the director's cut in 4K. You can only get that in the theatrical in 1080p. And even that is my favorite version because as I've said on the show before, I read the book before seeing the movie. So I was fairly disappointed. I wasn't upset, but I was like, I get it. But I loved that they put out they did do the book justice by putting out the director's cut. well, now that we have 4K, it's, I can't even watch the 1080p compared to the, I just like that crispness. So, so good. Hopefully you like it, Vandal.
Let us know. Yeah. Cause he's in every week. So let us know, buddy. It'll be really good to know.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. I didn't take a new picture, unfortunately. This is all I have, but, yeah, it's, wow. Did everybody hear the review for this one that you will not hear anywhere else? So we're talking, Dune Part 2. Watched it on the Kaleidoscape. And, Shane, in today's Takeover Tuesday, we recorded last Wednesday, I believe it was. And I hadn't seen it yet. And I almost hurried to see this because I wanted, but I knew that would just sidetrack the entire show. That's all we would have ended up talking about. And we already, did you hear his review? I don't want to give it away because if you haven't heard his review, it is a very small review. Did you hear it, Steve?
I haven't heard. I've heard most of Takeover Tuesday, and I'm aware of the scores he gave this. But I haven't. I must admit, I haven't listened to the review because I've seen it, so I know, and I know it's going to be a good bit.
Oh no, it hurt. It's early on. Yeah. It's basically what we talked about early on, and how it's like it's not really a review of it. It's. You'll hear it when you listen to the Takeover Tuesday at the beginning. It's towards the beginning and he tells a story.
Yeah, of the neighbors. Yeah, no, I have heard it. Yes. Yep,
there you go. Say it. Yeah. So this movie, I cannot wait to get this in my new theater. This is, I'm saying movie of the year already. I don't know what could possibly beat this thing. It is a juggernaut of a home theater experience. The 4K is unreal. Unreal. There's so, because if you know the movies, there's like sunsets, there's dusks, there's this. So there's so much gradation and they do jump cuts from dark scenes to bright scenes. You feel your eyeballs moving. You're like, whoa. It's insane. The audio. I'm speechless. It's the bass, the texture. That's all I kept thinking while watching this. The textures of bass. There's boom, boom. There's vibrate. There's bass sweeps. There's punches. There's like snare drum. Like all of these noises that like sounds that, but I'm not, they happen all at the same time. And it's absolutely amazing. It really is. As for a home theater experience, it's like demo material from beginning to end. Never mind, the movie's good. So have you seen this yet?
I saw it in theaters. Right? Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it to a point. It's all a bit too serious for me. I think everything's kind of galaxy ending. So and the whole film in the theaters was just wah the entire movie. So I'm hoping that there's a bit more layered.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. If you're like Giles and you're running your bass hot, you may want to dial it back before you hit push play on this, because you're going to get that if you're running like an IMAX, you're going to miss those textures because you're just going to be overwhelmed with all the bass. It's just insane. Insane. Dune 2. I can't wait. I talked about it a little bit on Twitter. I was like, I can't wait for this to come out next month. Comes out in a few weeks. Like,
what? I'm not sure there's a release date in the UK yet. I don't think, I'm not sure. Jordan will tell me if there is. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a release date, for it here, but I can wait. I'm looking forward to it, but I can wait. It's not, I mean, I'll tell you now, Deej, in terms, I mean, home theater experience, I don't know, but in terms of movies of the year, it's not going to be my movie of the year. I think I've already seen movies of the year that I preferred to this.
Yeah, but as far as like theater. Your home theater experience of the year, I can't even think of a movie coming that I would say could beat it. Doesn't mean it won't, but it was, I mean, it's home theater wise, it's I might put it ahead of, I don't know, I hate recency bias, but it's just so good. I can't wait to see it again. But my son hasn't seen it yet, so I'll have to watch it with him. But it's just, it's amazing.
I am looking forward to getting a thing. I hope that the base is controlled though, like the first film, rather than
it is
just Halloween Ends, kill your subwoofer job.
No, it's not like that at all.
Good.
It's not like, it's like the first one.
Good.
Just more of it, mm-hmm. but not louder. You know what I mean? Yeah. I say more of it, like it's actually part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. Mm. So, but yeah, definitely. I can't wait for that to come out on disc, because when we start talking about it all over again, it's going to be big time.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
All right. We're skipping that one.
Do you want to go straight to that?
You want to do your,
yeah. Do you want to go to the,
You want to do that, or do you want to do, and then what do we, yeah, we got a few minutes and then I got my home theater update. So yeah, we'll do that and then we'll go to my scene. All right. Ready?
Oh yeah. A first. Okay. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, a first. I think, as far as I know, dude, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been around a while on the podcast, both on it and listening to it. And I don't think we've ever recommended a home theater experience based on a DVD. Is that a first? Pretty sure it is.
No, not on a DVD. You're actually recommending this?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and three times more yes. Let me tell you why.
Where do I get this?
Yeah.
Not on Cloudscape.
Tell me this, Steve. Excuse me. Have you got a region-free player?
My Panasonic is not.
Have you got access to one? Could you get access to one? Because if you have, I'll send you this. I was going to do it anyway, but I wasn't sure if you had a multi-region player. Anyway, people that are listening are wondering what we're talking about. This is DVD version of the 1976 instant notorious classic short movie called Rendezvous, which we talked about briefly last week when we were discussing Ronin and the car chases in Paris. So this film is notorious and yet in the right way. And it's a movie that is only 8 3/4 minutes long. It's very short, and it is essentially someone driving from the outskirts of Paris into central Paris. But they're doing it having strapped a car to the front of a Ferrari, and where they did this for real, and where they do not stop. And when I say do not stop, they do not stop. You can count the red lights. You can count the going onto the pavements. You can count the people diving out of the way. You can count the pigeons that unfortunately lost their lives during the making of this. They do not stop. Now, during this film, Deej, what happens is this. You know, in Animal House, there is a scene in Animal House where the protagonist, a devil and an angel appear on his shoulder. The conscience becomes real and splits in two. That's what happens in this film, okay? So your angel side, your paternal side, okay, will, during this less than 9 minutes, will go, this is outrageous. How could they do this? How risky? How dangerous? Any number of people could have been killed during this. This is ridiculous, right? That's your angel side.
If John was here, he'd be like, this was us in high school.
Well, and on the,
we did some dumb stuff.
Well,
go ahead.
On the other side, you then get the devil. Okay. And as you're watching this, you're going, listen to that engine roar. Listen to the revs. Listen to the tires squeaking on the cobbles. Listen to, and just watch the sheer speed and the sheer balls that it takes to do something as stupid as this. And I watched this with someone who's an ex street racer, and the two of us watched this, and both of us were just like, oh, you know, just in spite of ourselves, you know, I'm a criminal lawyer. I deal with people that do this sort of silly stuff day in, day out. And unfortunately, I've dealt with people that have, you know, ended up with fatalities because of something like this. And yet watching this particular thing, all that kind of goes away, and you just admire the sheer guttural roar of the engine and everything else. Deej, you're going to love this. Okay. I genuinely think you will. It's less than 9 minutes, so you can't go wrong. So It's great. Now, when you turn the, when you put the
disc, it's got to be a way I can download it or something.
I don't know. I didn't look on YouTube. I was going to look and see, but not going to get the thing. This cost me £6. Okay. Now you go on eBay, it's about 90, but I got it for £6. Now when you turn this thing on, it says audio setup there. That's obviously the menu screen.
Yeah.
It is in 5.1 surround Dolby Digital, right? So obviously upmixed to Dolby surround. And I've got to say, Deej, okay, I appreciate 1976. There is surround information in there. The engine sounds awesome. The squealing tires sound great. There's a moment where they go into a tunnel very quickly. It goes overhead. All right. Fabulous. The video is not so great. Okay. This is a DVD and you're playing it on a big screen. DVD. Yeah. And it's not anamorphic either. All right. And it's not even in, it's like 4:3. So it's like a little postage stamp in the middle, but that's not really the point because it all works together. And so I don't care about the video on this necessarily. It's a short movie. You haven't got to put up with it for long and it all works in tandem.
That helps.
Well worth seeing. I thoroughly recommend this. And I've seen it years ago when I sold my DVD collection, it all went. So I hadn't seen it in a long time. But then having reminded myself last week about Ronin and thought, do you know what? I will get this. For £6, you can't go wrong.
What year did you say it
76.
Was? 76. 76.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's bonkers. They'll never do this film again. I mean, it's
a short.
Yeah. It's not 8 minutes and 40 something seconds. So it's all, you know, one shot. It's not, there's no breaks in it. You can see it where, as it were, quite literally, no breaks.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, there's one particular bit where you can see that the driver's going to go up one road, which is clearly blocked. And so thinks better of it and goes another way, but then goes the wrong way. As you did in Chicago, the wrong way up a one-way street,
yeah.
You know, but for real, you know, I mean, it's awesome. And it's 9 minutes just under of adrenaline and sheer. Did they really do that? And they clearly did because there's no faking this. I thought it was fantastic and I recommend this all day long. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing. Deej, let me know if you could find a multi-region player. If you can't get it over there, I will send you this disc. Okay. Cause you need to see it.
I think I just found it.
Okay,
here.
All right.
Let me see if it's the right. There's quite a few movies called Rendezvous,
yeah.
But let me see if this is the right one. It's like product details, blah, blah, blah. Who is the director?
Oh God.
Claude Lelouch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frenchman.
So yeah, this is the right one, but it's not telling me it's the wrong, delivered to, oh. Yeah, no, this isn't the, yeah. Deliver to Wav Franklin. Oh, two. No. Franklin, why would I want to deliver there? Yeah, I think I might be able to grab this.
Okay.
Let me see.
You definitely.
I'm trying it right now.
Yeah, it is bonkers. In just, as I said, one part of you will be appalled, but the car nut will just be like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah,
just don't drive afterwards.
Check out. Yeah, no, well, yeah, exactly. That's tends to be. It's not going to be here until Tuesday, May 7th.
Okay,
but it is on its way.
Oh, nice. It okay, well, I can't wait to see what you think of it. Yeah, is it this version? Is it that one? Do you know? Hopefully, it's.
I don't know. It's. I mean, it's a DVD of
it's
it.
Got to be in.
For all I know, it's somebody made it. Like the time I bought Star Wars back in like 2000.
Bootleg.
2000.
Yeah,
the bootleg. But, so I don't know, but I'm getting something delivered. I don't know what it is, but it'll be here May 7th. So.
Not delivered by Ferrari.
And you know what's funny is I love those deliveries too, because when they show up, you're like, what the hell's this?
Yeah, you forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it. I can't wait to hear what you think of it and see what you make of it. But when you get it, turn it up loud. Get Jen in there as well. She'll be appalled. And then just, you know, just see where you go. Anyway, sorry, I'll stop now because time's getting short.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 10 minutes here. Yeah. We got busy, busy stuff, but I got to get to this. Just got the, I just got hot off the press. Just got the confirmation. Travis Ballstadt and I, live show tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern time. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. But Travis texted me last week. This is like a true Takeover Tuesday, but he wanted to go live with it. So I'm accommodating him because next week's Takeover Tuesday is just me anyway. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. He's got a question or something for me. He's going to grill me on something. So we're going to go live. We're going to at 5 p.m. Wednesday night. And if you're hearing this on Friday, go to YouTube live and you'll see me and Travis there. So, and you can watch the replay. But yeah, so that should be good. 5 p.m. I just texted him before we started. Are we definitely still on for 5 p.m. tomorrow night? And he said, yes. So I got a couple Luke Cage things. First and foremost, I'd love to get to this here. I want to, if I have time, I would love to add a swear jar to our boxes of popcorn. And maybe even make it so that, like, if you come on the show, you can swear all you want. But every time you swear, it's like a dollar in or whatever it is. Because this is in Luke Cage, one of the characters in the show. If you've seen Luke Cage, the first season, one of the characters has a swear jar in his shop. And every time you swear, you got to put a dollar in. Steve, do you know why that's in the show?
Not a clue.
That's not in the comic.
Not a clue. Do tell.
I was so intrigued by it and I loved everything about it. I was like, let me look that up because I thought I'm that type of person myself. I don't like to swear. If you hear me swear, I'm angry. My kids have never heard me swear. If they hear me swear, I'm either on the ice playing hockey with my son and he's heard that, or I'm angry and I hardly ever do. So Marsha Ambrosi. Yes, I think. Leanne La Havis and Janelle Monáe, I don't know how to say those names, are all my sisters. We shouldn't curse at them. Quote, we need to treat them and all people like royalty. Did you ever hear Muhammad Ali curse? Would you curse in front of your kids or to your mother? End quote. Prince. That swear jar was to get Prince to be in the show, Luke Cage. The sole purpose, because they knew Prince didn't like to swear. So they added that to the show and they were hoping to get him into like the final episode. And he had passed away before they could get him. But that entire thing. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Prince thinks like me? What the hell? But I was just like, I just thought that was so cool. And it's like, you know, you see stuff like that in movies and they're like, this falls under the, like, everything has a meaning. I just thought it was amazing. I was like, it's awesome. So yeah. So that swear jar in Luke Cage is only because of that. All right. Had a visit to the theater. I got some theater pictures here. We'll put these up on the screen. This is how we'll end the show. I'll actually save my Luke Cage scene for next week. So here's the theater. Here's the quick shot of it. We'll get to this one in a minute. But that's the back of the room. It's pretty much all constructed. I still have to do the front. I literally ran out of lumber. But you see the back room here. It's like this is where the false wall will be. This is the entrance. And I had Danny Speakers and Nelson over on Sunday, gave him a tour of the whole house in the theater. And then Nelson was standing on the outside of the theater and he goes, why didn't you just have the door here? I go, come on in and I'll show you. So when I was talking last week here, if this picture here, if you're looking at it on YouTube, there's a 24 here. That was my original depth of the false wall. Then you see this line here. That's a 30 inch. That was my next depth of the false wall. Talked to Shane, looked at some specs. I mean, I don't have time to go over it all here. I talked to Nelson and Danny about it at length. 36 inch depth on the false wall in the back, 36 inch depth on the front. The issue I was having back here is I got stuck in my head. I'm like, I got this bar in my final row is like a bar with stools. I wanted some room there, but I'm like, what am I doing? How many people are going to be in there that many times that I'm stealing from this important space here? Because this is where I want to put subwoofers and my speakers and stuff. So I kept inching forward and I was like, wait a minute. So 36 inch, I stole from the bar area, 36 inch depth. Now I only have a 5 foot area for the bar, 18 inches from screen. this little area up here.
Projector.
It's where the projector mm-hmm. will go. Okay. That just that idea made everything super simple. So now my projector will be outside. Obviously, it was always going to be outside the room, but I was going to bring that wall forward, even though the, like, this would have been at like 16 and the false wall would have been at only, at 16 feet from the screen. The false wall would have been like 18 feet. So I would have had a staggered ceiling. Now the room you're in, all the same ceiling. Atmos speakers, easy to place, all that stuff. Projector height, all of this in here. Here's the advantage I have now because I simplified because of these stupid few inches for the false wall. I have enough space to stack two projectors.
Mm.
So I can do projector shootouts, but I can also demo two projectors to make the choice that I want.
Mm.
So I have enough room up there to do all that. This depth, the 36 inch, I texted John Brock. I wanted him to be the first to know because it's been in my head since he was making fun of me. But one of the things I did realize while I was doing this, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I keep thinking all I need is a screen and a projector because I have all my speakers, but I'm not taking my subs. So I need subs. So eventually this theater will be outfitted with the Ultra 16s.
Mm.
I'm going to start with two of them and then eventually I want four because I want four, one in each corner. So the Ultra 16s are going in for subs. And I am going with five of the Evolution Pinnacles.
Huh.
Three across the front and two of those behemoths will be placed in these false walls in the back. I don't know when, but that's the next set of speakers I buy. That's to replace the Ultras I have. That's what's
going on. Will they play well, though, those sort of size speakers? Will they play well then with your side surrounds as well, Deej? I mean, you're going to be matrixing five massive speakers with a couple of smaller ones and then your Atmos overheads. They'll still play well with others, will they?
Yeah. So the side walls will be able to accommodate the bookshelves. Mm. Which I think go to 40, they go down to 40 hertz. It's actually like saying, will your subs play well with your speakers? Yeah. Once you dial it in and everything's tuned accordingly, they will. They'll play fine. But that's what I plan on having. My side surrounds will be the bookshelves, but the five is going to be the five pinnacles, which is basically, that's what, like I've said before, that's what we started with in the 80s. Mm. Like you needed five towers, and now I'm getting like eventually I'll have the five that's end game for I'm done. It's like why would I go to anything else? But somebody else said, oh, Paul of course says in the chat, also that's lots of depth for absorbers in those rear corners, could actually make genuine bass traps there. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And in true fashion, Paul, you're pushing all the right buttons. Top corners up here will have bass traps in them. The stands when you see what I'm going to outfit this place, cause I'm making everything myself. So corners, there's going to be tons of sound absorption in the room. Never mind. I'm trying to minimize what could even leak out of it. So yes, tons of bass traps. Lots and lots of fun stuff that, you know, I can't wait. I'm having so much fun building this thing. It's like nothing is left unnoticed. So, let me see if I can show you a long shot of the room too. Let me get out of there for a second. I know we got 1 minute left. No, I don't have any more. Oh, here we go. Yeah. So there you go. You can see this. Like I have to form around like the piping here. So I'm going to have to build a little box there, but all that will be hidden by the false wall. This is the
HVAC,
the exhaust,
mm-hmm.
HVAC exhaust. And then that's why I took this picture. There'll be a blower in here, one at the front and one at the rear of the room. So there you go. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I didn't show this. Nelson. Holy crap. Sorry, Steve. Here we go. Look at what Nelson did when he came over. This is what it gave me. Mm. Yeah. So I saw these when we did his theater on the website. Okay. And these are for people listening. These are, it's a laser. He framed these. It's, he framed the Laserdisc cover and the Laserdisc together. And if you look in between, there's a piece of artwork in there as well, in between the Laserdisc. Okay. He gave me Raiders of the Lost Ark, Aliens, True Lies. And I saved the best for last for you, Steve.
Oh, Jesus.
Fifth Element.
No.
So. And there's all four of them. He handed those to me. I was like, are you kidding me? Cause I've been wanting to do this with a few of mine. And now he just gave me, he's like, I'm not using them anymore. I knew this would be a good home. So, thank you, Nelson. Thanks, Dan, for coming out. Mm-hmm. It was awesome just hanging out and chatting with them for like hours. We just, you know, looking at the theater, looking at the house, but it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome time. Let me double check. Is that everything, Steve?
Yeah, I think so. We've got some stuff for next week. I mean, just for those wondering, we've got to cut it short. I've got a very, very long day tomorrow. So, it's my fault that we're going short. So apologies for that.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got stuff to do too. Mm. So, everybody, thank you. The chat's been awesome. Mm. As always, again, we could just sit here and watch that. Patreon supporters, I will get to you. We're going to have a Patreon chat soon. And tomorrow night, Travis and I, join us there. Travis, I have no idea what's in store, which should be a lot of fun because I love stuff off the cuff. So this is going to be a blast. So thank you to everybody. Thanks for listening, watching, enjoying. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. And you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.